facts, opinions, controversies, current events, technology, the arts. How they affect you, your family, your friends, or your business depends on your point of view. Now it's time for Point of View, a weekly forum for insight and information of importance to the Chicago area. Produced by the news department of WNUA 95.5 Chicago. Here's your host, Charlie Meyerson.
Good morning. Our guest on this edition of Point of View is the same guest we had last week on Point of View. And he's been camped out here for the last week. He's been using bathroom down the hall and sleeping in the newsroom. And we're now ready to resume part two of our interview with legendary animator Joe Barbera, as in Hanna-Barbera. For those of you joining us late, Mr. Barbera, 86 years old, joined the industry 60 years ago. He has been instrumental in transforming it immeasurably in the years since he first became an animator back in the 30s. Welcome back to Point of View. Are the accommodations okay?
Oh, yeah.
Took good care of you?
I had the Flintstone outfit on, yeah. You know, the skin, bare feet.
The sleeping bag and everything. Yeah. Hanna-Barbera is now part of a big media empire. I want to recap for our audience how that came to pass.
Well, starting at the beginning when suddenly our studio was closed at MGM and Bill and I were found ourselves walking the street, started our own studio, began to win Academy Awards, and within 6 years we sold the studio to Taft Broadcasting. It was a good relationship. Something stupid about it was that we should never have given up the rights to all of our characters, but we don't look back. It was great until then Taft got into trouble, and they sold out to Great American. Great American got into trouble, and they sold out to Turner, Ted Turner. Then Ted Turner decided to sell the studio, and Warner's bought it. And so now we're part of Warner Studios. We're part of Warner Animation Department. One interesting thing is most of the people working at Warner used to work for me. And it's like a family getting together again, you know. But anyway, that is, in a nutshell, what happened quickly. It took a lot of concern and worries, you know.
And your role, and Bill Hanna's role day-to-day now, is what with this combined operation?
Bill is upstairs in what we call the penthouse. And I always tell everybody that he comes in the morning on a hang glider, which, of course, he doesn't. And I'm downstairs. And what I'm involved in right now is helping or, let's say, consulting on developing direct-to-video hour shows with our classic characters, like a direct-to-video Flintstone, direct-to-video Scooby, a Jetson, and our classic characters, which, as you know, are all involved in keeping the Cartoon Network going.
Well, listen, you know, we generate an awful lot of interest among our listeners with your visit here, and I want to take some time right off the bat to get to some of their questions. From a listener named Mike Gold, one of the things the merger of Hanna-Barbera Studios with Turner and then with Time Warner has done is led to creation of the Cartoon Network, drawing on your tremendous library of characters you've created over the years, including what I think a lot of people will call the breakout hit of the network, Space Ghost Coast to Coast, the talk show.
That's right.
Do you ever feel like they're taking one of your classic characters, a superhero, straight superhero character from the 60s, and basically making fun of him? Did that cause any problem for you, any static?
Well, a little bit, yeah, a little bit. But since I'm Sicilian, I will take care of that.
Well, no, seriously, how did that develop? And you know, did you raise any objections?
If you created something in the beginning, no matter what they do with it, it's going to bother you because you think you can do better yourself. And you think your advice is more important and that you can straighten out. But look, if anyone pays $325 million for a studio, they can do what they want with it. You know, I'm not going to complain. But they call on me to get into consulting and to sit in on story conferences and the whole bit.
Do you find yourself in conflict with the younger animators or animators?
No, we get along fine. I just figure they'll grow up.
When you critique someone's work, I mean, what are some of the common criticisms you give to the work of
I don't really give criticism, but I always recommend story. I always urge them to get the story right. That's the most important part of what they're doing. It's so easy to do funny bits and pieces, but what's the story? Because I think our stuff is holding up for 50 years, some of it, because of the story. Tom and Jerry's at least 50 years ago are still running today. Flintstones is over 35 years ago, and Yogi Bear. Of course, the big deal is that Yogi, Scooby, and Boo Boo arrived on Mars.
That's right. Did you get anything out of that?
A lot of publicity.
another listener, Rich Tolman, wants to know some of those early characters, some of those early series in particular, some of the ethnic cartoon characters your studio created. Quick Draw McGraw's sidekick, Babalu. Have you taken any? Had any regrets or anyone come to you over the years and said, these are ethnic and racial stereotypes?
I think we were very careful about taste. Babalooey was, hey, Quick Draw. He would say, and Quick Draw would say, hold on there, Babalooey. He says, I do the thinning around here. Because the other guy would say, hey, Quick Draw, I thin. But we never got any problems with it.
Never complaints. And no. Those cartoons are still showing.
That's right.
I mean, has there been any politically correct editing going on as some of these older cartoons air on the Cartoon Network?
Not that I know of.
All right. You're now reunited basically with Tom and Jerry. All these studio merger.
Sure.
Was that a joy on your part?
Oh yeah. I mean, Tom and Jerry are fabulous characters.
Which, for those of you again joining us late, Mr. Hanna and Miss Barbera created.
Created
MGM.
That's right. We created all of them, but I have no favorite because how can I get a favorite between Tom and Jerry, Flintstone, Yogi Bear, and Scooby Doo? I mean, what am I going to do? I can't separate those guys.
So you don't have one favorite character in the entire history?
Three, four, five of them. Yes.
Well, okay. Who are the top three, four, or five?
Well, Flintstones, Tom and Jerry, Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound, Scooby-Doo. Then we have Snagglepuss, who I love, and Magilla Gorilla. I mean, it's pretty hard to separate it. Oggy Doggy, Doggy Daddy. And it goes right on down the list.
Point of View on WNUA 95.5. Charlie Myers, and here our guest is animator Joe Barbera of Hanna-Barbera Studios, responsible for all of these and more.
Get set! Get ready, here comes Rough and Ready.
Huckleberry,
how!
Yogi Bear is smarter than the average bear.
Yippee-yi-yo, hey, elephant all the way. Here comes we crawl and crawl.
Beat the French down.
A gorilla like Magilla is mighty nice. Gorilla, Magilla, gorilla for sale.
Going through a lot of childhood memorabilia before we had this interview, I came across a lot of the old golden records based on the soundtracks of your TV shows and books and things like that. And of course, I mean, the one unifying theme is that Hanna and Barbera, those names always appeared at the top.
That's right.
Did that cause any problem, creative tension within the organization as it developed that, you guys are getting all the credit and you've got voice artists and writers and individual animators working with you?
Well, we didn't have any trouble because they had a lot of respect for us. They figured that we knew what we were doing, and obviously the net results showed that we did know what we were doing. So we had respect. If we were turning out bad shows, we would have had a small revolution going on.
You've worked with some of the most talented voice artists, of course, in animation history. Tell us about some of them.
Well, to give you an example, one of my best guys was called Alan Reed, who was very famous from New York.
He ended up
doing Fred Flintstone.
Oh, knock it off, Barney, will you? I just dropped my bowling ball on my big toe. Some sense of humor you got, knucklehead.
Noah Blanc, who was a legend.
No, Jackson, don't move. I'd like to remember you just as you are.
fired!
One of the nicest things Mel ever said about me, if you would like to hear it,
yes.
We were having a big lunch with about 30 of the voice people, and he never said anything, very quiet, and he worked on it. He walked with a cane because of his auto accident, and he hit the glasses, and everybody stopped talking. He got up, and he said, I've known Joe Barbera for 30 years, and I've never heard anyone say one bad thing about him. Now, that's a pretty nice compliment, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I said to myself, that's the nicest thing you ever said, Mel. And it was. But we had Dawes Butler, we had Don Messick. Beside the characters that we did, at one time we were approached to do this famous book called Charlotte's Web.
By E.B. White.
And the gentleman that brought it in was Edgar Bronfman, whose son now runs Universal. And he runs Seagram. But he had the property. So he came in, and we talked, and he decided to do the picture with us. So while I did a lot of development on characters, I get a phone call and says, you know something? He said, we have to go up to Bar Harbor and show this to E.B. White. So I flew into New York, and then they got a helicopter out of 59th Street and flew into Westchester. Then we got into a jet and flew up to Bar Harbor. Then we got into a Mercedes and drove to E.B. White. And we met the gentleman, and I showed him artwork, and he showed me some... He gave me a marvelous edition in which he edited it in three colored inks, what to keep, what to eliminate, and what not to use. Wonderful man. And we came out with a picture, which is a classic today. And I would get a call from Debbie Reynolds, who said, I want to do the voice of Charlotte, and I'll do it free.
Do you realize that if I didn't eat them, bugs would get so numerous they'd destroy the earth? Spiders are really very useful creatures.
And then we had Agnes Moorehead came in and did another voice. And we had another marvelous guy did the rat. He talked like he says, what's in it for me?
Paul Lind.
That's the man. Hey, Paul, you're Lind. Very good.
Well, I've
That's
seen that.
Good yeah. thing for you has saved that egg, Charlotte.
He did
it
that
certainly
voice.
Is, and I'm grateful to you.
And, of course, you did a great imitation. Now, you do all these imitations, but you've...
I do
you don't
when I
do
direct.
You don't do the voices on screen. Have you done any voices on screen?
No. I direct the shows, and in doing, I will give them an imitation of what I want. That's about it.
Are you still directing anything on a day-to-day,
yeah.
week-to-week basis?
Well, whenever it fits, it's something that I did. I used to direct every single night of the week, a different show.
Point of View on WNUA 95.5. Our guest is animator Joe Barbera of Hanna-Barbera Studios. Another question from a listener, Felicia Curtis. Any tips on preparation or application for jobs as animation artist? Someone wants to break into the business. Is it getting easier?
Well, I really am not too familiar with that. All I know is that in our particular case, we're in the process of merging and getting together, and they're not hiring anybody that I know except... for whatever production we're doing. They will hire an animator, they'll hire an artist, but they don't have any interns right now that I know, but we intend to get them.
Yeah.
So just send in a letter and say what you want to do.
And of course you have to go out west. I mean, there isn't a lot of animation going on outside of California at this point.
Well, there's quite a few studios around the country now. They're not all in California, but those are mostly commercial studios.
You recommend for someone who would aspire to be in this business, professional training, art school, college?
Well, I would recommend that if you're going to school and they have those classes, take them. Don't let them go. I mean, take all the classes you can and go to as much art school as you can. And then show up with a portfolio of artwork under your arm and maybe voice tracks.
Another question from a listener named Pamela Ferris, and you mentioned this briefly last week, but new animated movies coming out or features featuring some of your classic characters?
At our studio?
Yeah, your studio. Flintstones or Jetsons in particular, she wants to know about.
Well, we are planning direct-to-video projects, and they're 1 hour long, and they will be Flintstones, Jetsons, Scooby-Doo, Yogi Bear. And I think that's the future of a lot of stuff.
Direct-to-video first, not to the theaters, not even to broadcast or cable television first.
Not to the theaters or anything. In fact, the motion picture studios are doing that now.
And why is that? Well, why have the economics changed?
Well, you don't have to gamble. I mean, you have to wait for business to come in. I mean, you sell them before the whole... You have no problem.
Point of View on WNUA 95.5. Joe Barbera is here, the Barbera of Hanna-Barbera Animation Studios. More questions from listeners. So what do you think about social pressure on cartoon producers over the years? You know, it's come and gone, but the monitoring of violence and now educational content, you know, has that handcuffed you? Has it improved the industry or the presentations?
The educational pressure has been going on for 20 years, you know, and I've been involved in all of it. And the danger is that once a child senses that you're trying to educate them on television, they turn off. I mean, they're very sharp today. The minute they think you're trying to teach them something. See, the way I look at it is these children go to school every day, supposedly. So why on a Saturday do we have to keep teaching them? I mean, Saturday should be entertainment and not teaching. That's my personal feeling. The government apparently thinks differently. Everybody has to turn out 3 hours of education a day or something like that. So this has been going on and it will continue to go on. So I don't know whether it's going to work. Do you think your children are learning from television?
Depends. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not.
So it's up in the air.
Another question. With most animation work now being, or a lot of it now being done out of the country, do you see a trend of it coming back to the U.S.? I mean, you've mentioned that you're closing down some operations in the merged MGM-Turner Hanna-Barbera operation.
Well, so far it's all going out of the country because of cost. It's very hard to get any animation done in the United States because of the price. So in Europe and Korea and Japan and Australia, and we had studios in all of those places at one time. This is where you're able to keep within your budget. It's simply a budget project.
What about computers?
Well, computers, we've been into computers. We were in it 10 years, put in $10 million, and then quit it. Mainly because the equipment is coming out so fast, new things, every week. Now, you put in $1 million worth of equipment, let's say, and 3 weeks later, you go up and you say, what's going on? They say, the computer is down. What the heck does that mean? So you wait another 3 weeks. How's it going? Computer is down again. Oh, I'll tell you what we do. We'll buy some new equipment. It's smaller. It's faster. It's another $1 million. This goes on all the time. It's going on today. You cannot keep up with the way it's moving.
So these new features that you're doing, are you using computers? You're not using computers?
Well, the way you use computers, in my opinion, which they can ignore, is when you need something in your feature you're working on that should have a computer, you go to a computer house and you work with them and you do it. You don't have to set up your own whole computer department on it because you don't have that much call for it. So that's how you handle your computers today.
We got features like Toy Story and others forthcoming from Pixar that are totally computer generated, not a human hand. Have you seen that? I mean, what do you think about that kind of animation? Is it eventually going to make extinct the sort of hand drawn animation that you started with?
Well, the people doing it keep preaching the demise of animation, but it's not going to happen. I think there's a place for that kind of animation, and if you like it, you enjoy it. If you don't like it, you don't have to worry about it. But computer animation is not going to replace animation totally. It's just going to work together. That's the way to do it.
What do you think about a lot of the work being done in other countries now for other forms of animation, Japanese anime, for instance? Do you see any of that?
We've been involved in that a long time. But if you want a lot of action and a lot of detail work and a lot of meticulous work and a lot of effects work, you send them over to Japan, Korea, and they have 1,000 artists waiting to do it. And that's how you do it.
Point of View on WNUA 95.5. Charlie Meyerson here. Our guest is animator Joe Barbera of Hanna-Barbera Studios. Have any regrets creatively about your career? Projects you've undertaken that you haven't finished or that didn't come out the way you wanted them to, or I mean, other decisions you've made that you wish you could have over again?
Well, my regrets are personal and are not so much involved with the studio because I'm a frustrated, if you want to call it that, playwright. I've written 2 plays. I've had them both optioned for Broadway. And I'm on a third. So that's another bit of frustration or desire. I happen to think that if you ever write a play and it hits Broadway, that's going to be the height of achievement as far as I'm concerned. And I've done it twice. I intend to continue to do it. That's that. As far as animation goes, I think I would like to tackle another feature, being aware of the fact that Disney has got that market cornered. Because if you make a feature over there, you'll spend another $40 or $50 million promoting it. And very few studios have that kind of money. But that's another thing I'd like to do.
You think it'll happen?
Oh, yeah. Right. No problem. I'm working on one right now.
Can you tell us about it?
No.
What do you consider your greatest achievement?
Well, I think the greatest achievement that we have is spread out. 7 Oscars and 8 Emmys. I mean, now, what more can we ask for? And innumerable plaques and nominations. And for instance, one of the things that people don't know too much about the studio is our Bible series. That's something that took me 17 years to get off the ground. Every year I would go in to sell shows, and I'd always come up with the Bible. Pretty soon, the network people, Silverman and Eisner and Bud Grant, would be saying, "Oh, God, are you back again with the Bible?" But I said, "Listen, you want action? Do you want a whole cavalry to be drowned in the sea? Do you want the walls of Jericho to come tumbling down? Do you want somebody to be thrown into a lion's den? Do you want brother killing brother? What do you want? You got it all in the Bible. Oh, get out of here, you know what I mean?" Eventually, our CEO back in Cincinnati said, "Let's do it." And it's now one of our best-selling items.
I mean, it's generally sold directly. I mean, I've seen the ads on TV and in magazines.
That's right.
Right?
It went into video, and it's a beautifully done project. And I added touches. Without touching one word of the Bible, I added touches. Like, I have one Noah's Ark. Now, I say to the writer, I said, "It's 700 feet long. It's made by hand, by Noah and his son." I said, "It's got to leak. Why don't we show anything on that, you know? Also, it has to pitch. And as it does that, the animals slide from one side to the other." Well, the kids love it. The kids go crazy over that. They say, "Play it again," you know, so that's how I handle the Bible stories, and they're doing great.
Would it pass network censorship? What with all that violence and sex?
What violence?
The Bible.
The Bible. Cecil B. DeMille didn't have any trouble.
You know, looking at the body of Hanna-Barbera work over the years, it seems to me, and you know, one of our listeners mentioned this too in an email, that the stuff that was targeted for adults,
yeah,
Flintstones, Jetsons,
yeah,
seems to have had the greatest impact. Now, is that because it was on in prime time, or because it was pitched for adults? What do you think?
Well, let's get back on it. We did Tom and Jerry, right, for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was never made for children. The cartoons were made, number one, for entertainment, and number two, to run in the theaters at nighttime. We never had any problem with it. We never lost a child. They love them. They love them today. So that's the way I always work. We're aiming for the family. We're not going to aim for the kids, and we never play down to kids. There are no such kids anymore. At 3 years old, they're smarter than the average bear, I'll tell you that. You know.
Any closing thoughts, parting shots for our audience?
Well, if you want to be in the animation business, go to art school, see as many cartoons as you can, and make up your own animation at night when you're sitting home. Get an animation board and practice. And then go to a studio with your animation or with your soundtracks or anything. That's how to get into it.
Our guest on Point of View on WNUA 95.5 has been animator Joe Barbera. Such an honor to meet you. Thank you very much for coming. And thanks for your great body of work that's delighted so many of us over the
Sir,
years.
Sir, the honor is mine to invite me here, because I could keep going for 2 more hours. You know?
All right. Well, you know, the bathroom's down the hall.
Okay.
Left. You can camp out.
We'll stay another week.
I just want to take time out to tell our audience that if you're interested in more on the history of television animation and interested in possibly downloading to your computer some of the Hanna-Barbera theme songs that we've played these last couple of weeks on Point of View, we have some information for you. We'll be glad to email you some web addresses. Just send us a note at WNUANews@AOL.com. I'm Charlie Meyerson. Thanks for listening.
This has been Point of View, a weekly forum for insight and information of importance to the Chicago area. The views expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of WNUA 95.5 or Evergreen Media Corporation. If you have any comments or questions, send them to WNUA News, Suite 300, 444 North Michigan, Chicago 60611. Our email address is WNUANews@AOL.com. Point of View is an exclusive presentation of the news department of WNUA 95.5, Chicago.